Welcome into K-State Online. I am Mason Voth. That is Derek Young. It is time for a Friday KSO show, which means it is our weekly preview for this time K-State and Cincinnati. One of the interesting things was we went all these years in the Big 12 with just being able to freely refer to K-State as the Cats, the Wildcats, whatever. And now this season against Arizona, can't do that. And against Cincinnati now, you cannot refer to them as the Cats because it is the Bearcats coming to Manhattan. And we get to see K-State and Cincinnati match up as conference mates for the first time this weekend. We'll see what that has in store for everybody. It is senior day in Manhattan, so there's a lot of other things going into the game other than just playing a game, which I don't know if the added festivities and distractions are good or bad for this K-State football team right now. But because it's senior day, means most likely once the game ends and the stadium is clearing out, there might be some Christmas music playing. That's happened over the years. I can remember after the 2018 game, John Kurtz complaining nonstop about them blasting Christmas music as he was trying to do his Powercat game day stand up. We'll see if that's going on, but that would signal that it's the holiday season. And if the holiday season is here, it's time to find the perfect gift for the Cats fan in your life. And you can give your friends and family the trip of a lifetime to see the Wildcats take on the Cyclones in the 2025 Aer Lingus College Football Classic in Dublin, Ireland. Visit cats2ireland.com for information on official travel and hospitality packages. That's cats, the number two, ireland.com. So definitely, if you are thinking about being the hero of Christmas this year, not Santa, but you, this would be the way to do it for any K-State fan in your life, because I'm sure they would appreciate you hooking them up with not just the chance to go over to Ireland and watch the Cats, but also everything that goes into getting one of the great packages that is put together right there at cats2ireland.com. So with that in mind, let's move on and start talking about the Cats and the Cats this weekend. K-State, an 8-point favorite at home against Cincinnati. Some people might be a little bit surprised by that number, but you have to keep in mind that Cincinnati is reeling as well. They've ripped off, three or four straight losses now?
Three.
Yeah, three straight. Their last win was against Arizona State, but that was a home win when Arizona State was without Sam Levitt, and they are a wildly different team if they don't have Sam Levitt in the game. Really, same could be said for when they didn't have Cam Scadaboo. Their offense struggled to get going a little bit against UCF before finding it. So that's what their situation is right now. Since that win over Arizona State, a loss at Colorado, a loss at home to West Virginia, and then last week Iowa State pulled away from them to win 34-17. So this is not a team playing their best football right now. They got off to a strong start this season. Brendan Sorsby still is graded out as one of the better quarterbacks in the Big 12 this year. What do you expect K-State sees on Saturday from Cincinnati?
Probably a team that's still rejuvenated, right? You would think a team that's lost three in a row has no juice left, but Cincinnati's playing for a bowl game still. I mean, and if you're Kansas State, that doesn't mean much to you, but to Cincinnati it might, I think, because it's not really a program that's been going, you know, aside from the Luke Fickell days, it's been going bowl game all the time.
They were so bad last year too. They were 3-9 last year and 1-8 in the Big 12. So like this would be a pretty significant turnaround for them.
Yes, and it also could mean something for the job security of Scott Satterfield, because if he misses a bowl, he probably doesn't feel very comfortable. So in terms of what to play for in this one, I would think Cincinnati is probably on the more inspired side. K-State, it's play for the seniors. Cincinnati, it's play for the bowl. Which one is more important? Which one means more to each locker room? We're about to find out, but I tend to think that the Bearcats probably have more motivation entering this game. Neither one has positive vibes about their program at the moment, though, that is for sure.
Well, so that's the other thing. Senior day for K-State, and there's a lot of, well, you know, you think the motivation should be there for this. If the motivation wasn't there coming off of the bad loss to Houston, and then you put up that performance against Arizona State,
when you still have Big 12 ramifications.
Yeah, how is it that we're to believe that K-State can get this thing figured out and turned around right now?
Yeah, that's the question. If you can't get up for Arizona State with the Big 12 title picture still squarely in front of you, then yeah, you should have questions about the remainder of the schedule. You know, I've wrote a little bit on Case Down Online, and I know not everyone wants to hear that. And it's not necessarily an excuse, but it's like another data point as to why Kansas State is playing the way that they are. They've probably had far fewer season-ending injuries than most teams in the country at this point, but at the same time, they are playing a lot of guys who are not near 100%. The offensive line, I think there's a couple there that are probably going through some things that might have affected their performance. And I've said it all along for almost a month now, and you know this, and Chris Kleiman just said it for the first time this past Monday, is DJ Giddens doesn't look 100%. So not to make excuses, but I think it's a contributing factor, at least, of why Kansas State is playing the way that they are. And you have to think it's not going to get much better without another bye week, right? So, you know, this game, to me, you know, it's an 8-point spread, and I get that, but that 8-point spread is probably indicative of a good Kansas State team from a, you know, I want to say a few weeks ago, but right now it might be 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I'm not sure that's the kind of team that returns. Maybe they do. They're at home. You got some self-pride on the line too, I imagine. But I just, you know, I don't hate anyone on this team. I don't hate anyone on this coaching staff, and I hope all of them know that. But I don't have a lot of faith in them to right the ship right now.
Yeah, I just, if you can't get up and motivated for last week's game, because, look, K-State made some mistakes. They have all this other stuff going on. But performing the way they did last week is more the outcome of lack of effort and energy based off of how I would see it.
I thought it was a lack of preparation. Not necessarily. I thought the guys played hard. I just thought that they were.
I think some of them played hard.
Yeah.
Well, I think you can watch some of the performance and you can see maybe some guys that didn't bring. I don't know. I just think that maybe it is a lack of preparation. Maybe it's a lack of focus or, I don't know, attention to detail going into it for some guys, because the game ends up being semi-close for what it's worth. Like, we're talking about this like K-State just got blasted by 30 or whatever, and while they were trying to do that by halftime, I know Cincinnati or Arizona State backed off the gas pedal a little bit and everything, but also K-State made that thing a little bit more hairy than what Arizona State would have liked. Like, if ASU wanted to make that game a little more comfortable for them, they were definitely trying to, and I don't think their game plan was, yeah, we want Cam Scatabu to be held to under 3 yards rushing in this game. So K-State still did some really good things there. And their K-State's worst games this year have been the Houston game. You know, they lose by a score and the weather and all that. And then the Arizona State game. And then we know that the Avalanche happened against BYU and it got out of control. But I think there's ways to look at this, and it's not like K-State's been boat raced. So maybe that's where you look at it and say, Cincinnati's not as good as Arizona State when you compare them at full strength to each other, and they can bounce back here. The other thing, too, is obviously Chris Kleiman has dealt with stuff, and it's bore out in the press conference last week. He seemed to be in a better mood and spirit on Monday, like things were headed in a better direction. I think that plays a toll in it, and I know that everybody goes along and says, well, you know, everybody else has a job that you have to do, and when stuff – not pertaining to your job leaks into it, like, you just got to deal with it and move on. Yes, that is true. But also, we don't all have jobs that are so black and white, like coaching or, you know, for players and stuff.
And our performance at our job is still going to dip when we aren't 100% or we're not locked in. Let's put it this way. I've dealt with my shoulder, neck, and arm issue for about a week now. And we're at Friday, and I don't have all of our preview stuff up yet for Mississippi Valley State or Cincinnati. So my performance dipped because I had stuff distracting me. I couldn't, you know, had trouble working. We tried to make do, but it's hard. And I'm sure everyone listening to this, when you've gone through something and you can't take work off, you probably weren't at your best at work, and the company probably, you know, wasn't at their best because of that. It's a little bit of human nature. And I know some people that are listening to that are probably fuming because they don't want to hear that, even though it's reality, because it's like, well, we're paying such and such to visit, go watch them, or to travel 2 or 3 hours to give to NIL. I get all of that. But at some point, like, it's human elements too. You have to realize you can't just point at this human and yell him, scream in the face, even when he's going through personal strife, say, you got to be better, because even when that happens to you, you're not at your best. Yeah. I get it. It's fanatic. I get it. But at the end of the day, I didn't think it was effort, but I think it was a lack of focus, a lack of concentration, a lack of preparation just because of everything that was going through the program at the time. Because if it was a lack of effort, Kansas State wouldn't have had more yards than Arizona State. If it was a lack of effort, they wouldn't have helped Kansas get about 2.9 yards per carry. And it's not like it was a volume thing where he only had 9 carries, and that's why he only had 2.9 yards per carry. He's still at 25 carries. 25 carries, 73 yards. At the end of the day, you'll take that. Something to think about is just – I don't know if Kansas State's getting game scripted out of games, maybe to a touch, but it gets two of their three losses, Houston and Cincinnati, or Houston and Arizona State, sorry. They threw the ball at least 40 times in both of those. Yep. I don't think, and obviously in all the wins they threw for less. So my point is, like, one, they have to be able to run the ball. And yes, they ran for 6.2 yards per carry against Arizona State and 9.5 for DJ Giddens.
But they were 1.9 yards in the first half.
They are 1.9 in the first half, and some of that is just DJ Giddens popping off two explosives in the second half when, again, Arizona State's playing with lighter boxes, softer zones. So it's just a product of the score at that time. So what I'm saying is Kansas State's not going to be winning games just airing it out 40 times. If they throw 40 times against Cincinnati, they lose.
Yeah, I think the concerning thing might be right now for K-State is that in the last three games, actually the last four games, Avery Johnson has four of his five highest attempts in a game this season, 40 against Arizona State, 39 against Houston, 34 against KU, and 29 against West Virginia. The only other game with more this year to include in that five was when he threw it 31 times against Oklahoma State, and they're terrible. So that would be a little bit of a concern right now. And
when they've scored, they've roasted the defenses that are not necessarily good in this league. So.
Yeah. And I would also point out that when you talk about lack of focus, that is probably the better way to look at it, because obviously you had a penalty that is a lack of focus thing that wiped off a big touchdown to Dante Cephas against Arizona State. You got to lock in more. I would even say to some extent that the play that Jace Brown fumbled on could be included in that, the first interception of the game. Like, you just have to be better. Both Avery Johnson and Jace Brown have to be better on that play where Avery threw the pick.
Yeah, second play of the game, throwing a pick that can't happen. And that's just like zero win. That's preparation throughout the week. It's
And I think part of that is on Connor Riley too. I think you have to, in that situation, know, you know, is this really the right time for it? Because and again, you have to trust your quarterback a little bit. Like, this is not just the OC has to baby Avery Johnson, but you do in that moment, I think, kind of have to know, okay, is this something that could potentially give us a risk? And is it worth taking that risk on the second play of the game? I don't know. Really, this just all comes back to K-State has to be better running the football. And as long as they do that, then it opens up everything for this offense. But unfortunately for Connor Riley, both of these problems really come back to him, where it's the offensive line is at an issue spot and everything else then with how he calls plays.
Yeah, and some of the play design informations. And I get a lot of beef on that side of the ball, and rightfully so. But I do think it's not really a lack of effort. And think about the field goal. That's execution. It's not a lack of effort. That's some guys just not locking it. Like, not being able to kick that field goal twice through the uprights, I don't think is a lack of effort. I don't think Chris Tennant and the snapper and holder were like, we're not going to play hard in those fields. They just screwed up.
Yeah, it's probably a better way to put the struggles right now is that the focus hasn't been there. And again, easiest way to point to that is that Chris Klieman's been very upfront that it's been tough for his focus to be there with everything going on. So we'll see how it ends up looking now. Okay, senior day for K-State this weekend. They'll have a handful of guys that go out there and go through the senior day festivities, maybe a handful that don't. What is your insight right now into what senior day looks like for K-State? Because it's not the largest number of guys that will be walking this year in this. I think, it's like around 15 or something.
Yeah, I haven't seen the list, but I just imagine it's everyone that has senior status, even, and typically it's even the ones that kind of know they might come back too. So It's a class that came in the same time as Chris Klieman, so, or the 6-year guys are, so that'll mean something to him. But at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know if we're going to glean like any like insight from it. I think guys will have to make those decisions after the season, or some of them may already have. Like I think Cody Steffelbein, I think it's funny because he was considering not coming back for this season, and now is probably going to come back for next season. I think Carver Wilson will be back. So some guys still making decisions, and again, like, it's a weird time for college athletics. Most of this is, at this point, a negotiation as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I do think that there might be a couple guys that already are not going to be involved in it, so we'll see who that ends up being. I don't know that I know specific names there, but I at least have maybe heard that there are some guys that will just not be in it anyways, and then you'll probably know on the spot there, okay, that guy's probably back next season, or he's looking at the transfer portal. Who knows with how college athletics works these days. All right, talking about Cincinnati a little bit more and some things that people probably need to know about the Bearcats. We mentioned Brendan Sorsby earlier. He's been pretty much a revelation this year. I didn't put a ton of stock into necessarily what was going to be able to be done from him this season, but he's played really well in most games for Cincinnati, transferring from Indiana, and got Cincinnati off to a pretty hot start. They've struggled recently in conference play, but he's got some weapons to throw the ball to. Cincinnati's a fairly balanced offense, or would like to be. Corey Kiner's one of the better running backs in the Big 12, but really they've got a bunch of different weapons they can use on the outside. Xavier Henderson is their top receiver. He's over 50 catches this year. He's put up big yardage, so he's somebody to watch out for. And again, it's another really dynamic receiver that K-State's going to face this week that you have to be really on your toes with. The only difference is going to be that Cincinnati has much better number two, number three options in the passing game than what Arizona State had, because their passing game all season had consisted of Tyson, Mateo the tight end, and Scadaboo. You look at Cincinnati, it's Henderson, and then their tight end Joe Royer, who's got 42 grabs for almost 500 yards this year. And then they have two other players that are over 250 yards this season, including Tony Johnson, who's getting close to 400. So this is a team that is going to be able to throw the ball in a lot of different areas. They also have a really good pass blocking unit. Luke Kandris, probably the best guard in the Big 12. And then John Williams has had a good season at tackle. So this team is going to be wanting to put the ball in the air against K-State. And based off how the Cincinnati defense looks, I think K-State might end up being a little pass-happy in this game, too.
If they are pass-happy, they're going to lose, though. That's just my feeling. Again, the games where they have the highest output of pass attempts are typically the ones they are losing. So,
yeah, we'll see. One other thing for you, D.Y., what does this sound like to you? I've got a little nugget for you. So in the last two games, we've talked a lot about the defense and, you know, guys getting burnt or whatever, but then also the field position has been a big deal. And the two losses against Houston and Arizona State, the average scoring drive has needed just 49.5 yards for K-State's opponents. The longest scoring drive in those two games is just 67 yards, which ended with a Jordan Tyson touchdown last week against Arizona State. What does that signal to you?
It's a really, I bet you could go back further than that and you would find even more data to represent what you're hinting at there, because it's been a problem all season, in my opinion. Like, especially go look at BYU. That thing was probably ugly. But at the end of the day, I think its field position is a problem for K-State. And it's what it tells me is that it hasn't got better. It's continued up to this point. And at the end of the day, they're making it harder on themselves and easier on the opponent.
Yeah, BYU would probably be really nasty to go back and look at how that ended up playing out. I mean, let's see here. That was BYU's first scoring drive. It took 62 yards, and then 29, 27, and 38. Yeah, there you go. Because that doesn't even include that a fumble got taken back for a touchdown, and then a punt got taken back for a touchdown in that game. So
zero.
Yeah, so yeah. Zero, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. Yeah, and I haven't gone through to look exactly what K-State's totals are in these games, but
That's nasty work, dude. I just thought to myself, I think you said two in a 20s and a 32, and then 2-0. So they had five scoring drives, 32 yards or less.
Yeah. I mean, for reference, K-State against Houston, they needed 70, 71, 48, and 55. And then against Arizona State, they scored twice, and it took 78 and 90 yards in those games. And if you go back
all year.
Yeah. I mean, in K-State, their offense has seemingly had to work more, but that it goes hand in hand. Like, the offense is hurting themselves by not even moving the ball a little bit on some of these drives. Simon McLennan, a punter, has not given them a ton of help at times. Turnovers have been just in the worst spot imaginable.
Yeah. It seems like every time they turn it over, it's on the wrong side of the field too.
Yeah. If you want, here are K-State's scoring drives that they needed going back to the KU game. They needed 95 yards for their first touchdown, then 59, 75, 66, and then 15 after they for the game-winning field goal after they forced the Jalen Daniels turnover. So, I mean, obviously turnovers are a very big part of this, but also the fact that K-State, they've got a little bit more baked in because they're not – on drives when they're not scoring, they're not moving the ball.
Yeah, and I know at least one of Colorado's was like 30 because of that pick that Avery threw late.
Yeah, their go-ahead touchdown. They also, the first two or three drives of that game, Colorado was basically at like midfield. Colorado was dominating the field position.
It's a problem. I mean, yeah, and not to, and obviously it makes it harder on the offense, harder on the, they're just making things so hard on themselves by doing this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've said it a lot this season when it comes to picking games and everything for K-State, but they win games as long as they don't beat themselves right now. They are good enough, and at that stage of a program, the problem is they've beaten themselves three times this year, and they've beaten themselves pretty hard. Colorado's scoring drives in that game, just going back, they did have two big ones, 75 and 72, but their first one was 49 yards, and then they also had 17 yards baked into that after the interception that was thrown. So it's a significant problem right now. K-State has to clean up the turnovers, and I think that's the one long-term concern area that I have right now for Avery Johnson. Is it's a little disappointing how big that interception number is getting this year, especially when you consider that a lot of them, it's not like they're coming on deep shots down the field. They're coming on balls that are thrown anywhere from like 7 to 15 yards off the line of scrimmage.
I will say a lot of him is throwing over the middle. I don't think he's really good at that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also just, I don't think K-State has the guys to get that done right now, or well, at least,
especially not when Keegan Johnson doesn't play.
Yeah. At least the scheme with how you're throwing over the middle right now, I think you're forcing him to look, it's a weak spot for him, obviously, but quit forcing him to use that weak spot so much. Find the things that are he's better at that he can.
I would think that's success. Something that Connor Riley can improve upon in general. Like, really cater your offense to your guys, because he talked a lot this week. We'll just say he talked a lot this week. Not necessarily, and people say, well, he wasn't taking accountability. Yeah, in a roundabout way, you could probably try to contrive it that way. But he says lack of execution, because he can go back and look at these unsuccessful plays and say, it didn't happen because of this, it didn't happen because of that. Well, when that repeatedly happens, then you need to just realize that they're not going to be good at that and try something else, I would say.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think Connor Riley has to be better about adjusting. And also, again, this is the give and take where, yes, players have to execute, and K-State has guys not executing well right now. But you also have to realize, you know, you're getting ready to play game 11. Some of the things that K-State isn't executing right now, they haven't executed at all this season.
Yeah, that's my thing. You could blame it on a lack of execution, but at some point when that lack of execution is so consistent, it's time to, okay, we got to shift here.
Yeah. No, nobody involved in the K-State offense is playing anywhere close to their peak potential right now, whether it's because some guys are dinged up or whatever else. They've got a problem, and they all have to get better about all of this. So we'll see how that ends up working out. All right, let's take a pause from all that. Let's move on. Let's talk best bets here for a minute, break it up, and then we'll get into Big 12 scoreboard and everything that goes on with that. Here is a recap of last week. Will Howard had a touchdown pass taken off the board, which was unfortunate. So that was my only loss. But Washington and Illinois helped me out. And then DY had some struggles with UL Monroe and Tennessee, both ones that I also would have felt good about.
Yeah, the Tennessee one, I would have bet that again. I felt like Georgia scored late to cover, so that one hurt. ULM actually didn't have a chance. I was surprised at how thoroughly dominating that Auburn happened to be on that day. And in Cincinnati, Iowa State, I think that covered pretty easily.
They ended up that total ended up at 51. It was 34-17, which is basically what we said, where
it took a lot of late Iowa State scores there.
We didn't think Cincinnati would be able to score enough. And you're right. Iowa State scored 2 touchdowns in the final 4 minutes of the game.
Yeah. That made it I know it only cashed by 2 points, but it was cruising all day. Yep.
Yeah. So, all right, that was last week, but with the losses, DY is 14-18-1. I'm 16-17. So
I've had a rough 2 weeks.
It's been a tough go of it. All right, here are this week's picks. I am going with Alabama -13.5 at Oklahoma, and I'm taking Devin Neal to score 2 touchdowns against the bad Colorado run defense, and I am riding the Illini once again. They are 1.5-point favorites at Rutgers this weekend. That's a nasty, dicey game, but, you know, Illinois treated me well for the most part, so I'm gonna give it to him right there.
I would have went under more than anything on that game.
Yeah, probably.
I will say, just for my personal bets, I got Alabama-Oklahoma early line in the offseason, actually. I got it. So I got it sitting there, and I can cash out really quick. It's at Alabama -2. So
yeah, I think you should feel pretty good about that one.
Yeah, I got that in the offseason. I went with the Buckeyes 12.5. I think at some point this is by far the best team that Indiana has played. I feel like I'm in trouble here fading Kurt Cignetti with the way charmed of a season that he's having. But like, this is like for them playing the Green Bay Packers after playing UL Monroe for 10 weeks, it feels like to me. I think the gulf is that wide between Ohio State and the rest of the opponents that have been on the Indiana schedule. So in Ohio State, like, they're probably getting hungrier as this season goes on, right? They're clicking. They want to, and to be honest, Ohio State, not that they can't make the playoff, they'll still make the playoff if they lose this game, but they probably aren't going to go to Indianapolis and play for the Big Ten championship if they lose this game. And then what happens if they get upset by Michigan, who they haven't beaten in like 5 years? Then things get dicey. So this is a big, big game for Ohio State, actually.
I actually think, now obviously I guess Cincinnati or Indiana could lose, and maybe that would change some things, and depending on what the rest of the league looks like. But I do think if Ohio State were to lose this game for some reason, it would take them out, because the Big Ten already confirmed this week that Oregon is locked in to,
and then Ohio State would have 2 losses, and Penn State and Indiana would both only have 1.
Yeah, Penn State, I guess, could be involved in that. So
I just think this is a game where Ohio State completely locks in. Indiana plays a team with the pulse for the first time. I think it could get ugly. Alt lines might be, if you want an alternate line, like Ohio State -17.5, I would take that.
Well, and I also think you should consider this for Ohio State here. You feel like they've proven themselves with a win against Penn State, but you look at their overall schedule, I think they probably still feel pretty motivated that they haven't gotten a ton of marquee opponents this year to kind of flex their muscle. I think they will try and do that if they get the chance, and we'll see how it looks against Indiana. Real quick, do you have any idea on what the weather will be like in Columbus tomorrow?
Cold, I know that.
Yeah, 46 and cloudy. So not as bad as today, because there looks to be some rain.
In Cleveland last night. So
yeah, that was an awesome game. And then I see with your second pick this week, you are trying to make amends with your new Sun Devil friends after KS. Look at that. He's totally reformed. Derek Young was the star of the Arizona State hype video last week.
I was.
They took some audio and stuff from KSO. Unfortunately for me, they only used my voice, and it was just me saying that this is pretty much an elimination game. And I was like, oh, that's okay. That's cool. That's nice. And originally, Gabe Schwartz, who I worked with, sent that to me. was like, I didn't even realize Mason got used in the hype video last week. And then he must have watched the rest of it after he sent it. And he goes, oh, and they dunked on DY at the end. And so we'll just put Sun Devil DY up here to talk about Arizona State at home against BYU this week.
Yeah, well, I think Arizona State's for real at this point. It's no use in calling them a pretender. They are a contender. And I think they're better than BYU. I don't know. BYU finally lost the game. They could lose out. Arizona State's, I think, actually more than 3 points better. They're a legitimate football team with weapons. The depth hasn't caught up to them. They're really well coached. It's they're playing for a Big 12 championship at this point. And if they were to beat BYU, maybe they might be the ones playing Colorado in Arlington. So I think this is a good spot for the Sun Devils. I'll take the -3 against BYU. Sounds right to me.
I think depending on what you get it at, you go either way. I do think Arizona State wins this game at home. They've got all this momentum. I would say this, if anybody out there still thinks that Colorado loses this weekend to KU or uses the logic of there's no way Mike Gundy can lose that many games, right? Like he can't lose them all and somehow pulls off an upset next week. If there was a two-way or a three-way tiebreaker with two losses for Arizona State, BYU, and Colorado, I believe it would be Arizona State and BYU that go to the Big 12 title game. So if Colorado loses this weekend, it would still look very good for the two schools out in the mountains in Arizona.
Shout out to the Arizona State social team or whoever, because to find our channel, maybe we're easily found, more easily found than I think, but they had to dig a little bit for that.
They probably looking for any Arizona State, K-State preview they could get, and they found a couple of Yahoos that took the Cats to win by 15. Last week.
Yeah, we had the same freaking score. Yeah.
And then your last one, you're dipping your toes back into the totals water in the Big 12.
Yeah, if you like points, watch TCU Arizona because they don't defend a lick, but they both can score 100 points. So would you be surprised if that game's both are in the 40s?
No, it would not shock me at all. The only thing that I would be concerned about is like Arizona, if they just, you know, they could revert back at any time to being the team that kind of does nothing. But you're right. Neither team plays defense. They both just want to bomb it down the field. They have quarterbacks with good arms, and they've got receivers that they're going to force feed. Besh for TCU and McMillan for Arizona. So that should be like a classic, fun, high-scoring Big 12 game, almost like what Baylor and West Virginia was last week until the second half started.
Yeah, I took the over at that game and freaking cashed at halftime. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was good that it did because it almost didn't do anything in the second half, which I told you at halftime of that game, I said the play would be to take the live under right now. Yep. West Virginia played some weird ones like that. So, all right.
Would have cashed.
Big 12 scoreboard time. Look around the rest of the Big 12 this weekend. Already mentioned a handful of the games here. So I think we both are on the side of thinking Arizona State wins. Obviously, you are. I fall into that boat as well. Arizona TCU, that's just more about the points. The Frogs are 11-point favorites in this game. That feels like almost a little too much for a team that is as shaky as TCU is.
I would agree. But I didn't want to touch it anyway.
Yeah, I'm not telling anybody to do that. Probably the biggest and most interesting game in the Big 12 this weekend outside of Arizona State, BYU. And this one's going to have the most eyeballs because it's 2:30 on Fox, and it's Colorado at KU. Until KU ripped off these two upset wins in back-to-back weeks, that was kind of the trendy, this is where Colorado is going to slip up. Does KU win a third straight against the top 25 opponent and beat Colorado?
I will say KU probably has Colorado's attention now because of what they've done to both what Iowa State and BYU. But boy, I think Kansas wins. I really do.
I'm kind of with you. Texas Tech, Oklahoma State from Stillwater, 2:30. It is finally Alan Bowman's last senior day, and how fitting that it comes against Texas Tech.
The team started with.
Does it mean that Alan Bowman and Oklahoma State finally win a game since the middle of September in their first Big 12 game of the season?
It wouldn't surprise me, to be honest, because Texas Tech is not a team to trust.
Yeah. Oklahoma State has played three straight games where they've lost by double digits. The only two games this year where Oklahoma State has been within single digits against a Big 12 foe is when they've played Utah and BYU, lost by a field goal to both teams. Another 230 kick. There's a load of them this week. So screw the TV networks for giving everybody but K-State and Cincinnati a 230 kick. UCF and West Virginia on ESPNU. This is the nobody wants to watch this game. The Knights are 3-point road favorites at West Virginia.
Yeah, they've been weird favorites in a lot of games this year. So
they were 28-point favorites against Colorado.
Yeah, and they were favored against I don't know. They were favored. They probably were favored against Arizona, but they did win that game 56-12. So
I think they were probably favored against Cincinnati earlier in the year as well.
A lot of weird stuff. I actually think West Virginia is going to win, though. They just I know they're 5-5, don't have an impressive record, but they're a team that kind of keeps like just gnawing and clawing and grinding. I trust them more.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right, now we get to the night kick, 6 o'clock, Baylor-Houston, FS1. I checked the forecast yesterday, and there is no rain in Houston this weekend, which means Sawyer Robertson throwing it all over the place, doing his thing. I'm taking the Bears in this one. I'm taking them to cover.
Yeah, I'll take the Bears, but this seems like a good letdown spot, though, so I'm a little leery of doing anything beyond that.
And then the next night game, 6:30 on Fox. We thought this was going to be a big-time game when the season started and that Iowa State was going to be getting ready to start the toughest stretch that could be played in the league. And now all of a sudden it doesn't look that way. They're on the road at Utah. The Cyclones are 7-point favorites.
I'll go ahead and say they win, but I'm not actually that confident in it, to be honest, because I know they finally pulled away from Cincinnati at the end last week with two like almost garbage, whatever time touchdowns at the end. But for what we think about Kansas State and how they're playing the last few weeks, it's the same about the Cyclones. They have really declined.
Yeah. So we'll see if that means that K-State can get right against Cincinnati like Iowa State did. They found a way to win. They ended up pulling away in the end. Cats and Cats this weekend. Wildcats, Bearcats, 7 o'clock ESPN2. As mentioned earlier, K-State, 8-point favorites in this game. If K-State comes out on the other end with a win, who needs to step up on offense and defense?
Avery Johnson. I know that's an easy pick here, but take care of the ball. And Chris Klieman seems to really want his legs to be part of this game. So it's hard for me not to pick Avery Johnson.
Yeah, I think Avery is the clear and obvious option there. It is when it's your quarterback and you need to snap a losing streak, but more so with everything that's been asked, and we'll see if they can rise to the challenge. There's a lot that has to go on here with Avery Johnson has to be better, Connor Riley has to be better, but they also have to get help from other guys on their team. I think if to go not Avery Johnson in this game, I think you want to see one of the – I don't know if it's necessarily younger guys, but a guy that's going to be around next year that maybe you haven't seen as much. Like, are we going to get more Trey Spivey in this game? And is that something that can help? Because, look, he had a bad start to his game against Arizona State, but everything that came after it was really encouraging. He made a nice catch in the end zone. I think you'd be looking to see if you get some more out of him. And obviously, if Keegan Johnson's healthy, that would go a long way for this team. Think you're looking for more reliable targets that are going to do the right things for you in this game.
I like your Spivey answer. What I will say is we saw a handful of flashes as to why we've heard his name quite a bit as to someone that's been trending upward and surging to potentially grab some playing time moving forward. We also saw a handful of flashes of why he has a hard time getting on the field because some of the mistakes were pretty crippling too.
Yeah, I mean the drop that he had early in the game where he comes back to the ball, he was where he needed to be, I think, to get the first down, and then he came in and he dropped it, and I think that probably contributed to it. The ball probably was a little hotter based off of where he was and everything. So yeah, you're right, it was a very up and down, but I think when you're looking at it, he's still, you know, he's a redshirt freshman, so you're looking for more positive flashes, and you realize that you're going to get some bad occasionally. And you would just hope that Avery Johnson can kind of carry you above all that and help you out a little bit.
Defensively?
Where are you going? I mean, to me, it's got to be somewhere in the secondary, but I don't know that we can even you can even name a name, because can you trust that the secondary is going to get the matchup right, which was a big deal last week?
No, I don't. I'll just take Brandon Mott, pass rusher. I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith here.
Yeah, I mean, and you would like to do that, but Cincinnati's been really good at preventing sacks this year. I think they've only given up 12. If you look, they are, let me find the note that I had on that this year. But they don't give up a ton of sacks this season. So they're really good at kind of preventing them in the Big 12. They also get a good handful on defense. So, you're right. You need one of those guys to be disruptive up front to make something happen. I guess, I don't know. I won't name a name because I don't think it's possible to do right now, but you just really need somebody that is maybe not performed their best this season to step up in the secondary. Somebody that can help you other than Jacob Parrish and Marquis Siegel, because I know Siegel struggled last week. That's not what he's been all season. So you need some other guys to kind of rise to the occasion, and we'll see if that's possible against Cincinnati. But I think Brennan Sorsby could have a field day throwing the football on Saturday.
It's possible.
All right. Well, it doesn't sound like you're in a good spot with where your pick is going to be in regards to K-State trying to bounce back here. So you might as well just lay the bad news on everybody right now.
Yeah, just it's not a team I trust at this point. I don't hate anyone on the team, and I don't hate anybody on the coaching staff. But at this point, they haven't been locked in and looked prepared the last few games. And I'm hearing like things about how banged up they could be behind the scenes as well. On top of that, I don't think it's from what I've understood and gathered, I don't think it's a locker room that's where a lot of upheaval is happening. It sounds like things are, we've covered Kansas State teams where we know that locker room was poisoned. Like it was, where it's been in a tremendously bad place early on in Klieman's tenure. I think that was the case at the end of Bill Snyder's tenure. I think that was the case. And sometimes you can have a good culture and there could be one or two bad apples on a certain year that could really poison it. And I don't get the sense that that's happened this year. I think they still have a good locker room. But I think distractions and adversity have really punished this team, and they haven't really got off the mat when that's the case. And now you're asking me, do I think they can get off the mat? They haven't really shown to do that this year as well as they've been in other years. So I'm going to take Cincinnati, 31-28.
Feels like there's a lack of urgency for K-State, where you think of the only two games where they've bounced back from adversity, Colorado and KU, and think back to before the season started, what were the two games that get mentioned the most as the ones that K-State players were looking forward to? It's Colorado and KU. That's a concerning thing to me.
I would say Tulane, they kind of did.
Yeah, Tulane, yeah. But, inferior competition there. I guess they bounced back. I don't know what's changed over the last month to where they really haven't had much of that fight in them for games outside of those. So, look, I get it. Going into this week, I thought I was going to pick Cincinnati, but when you look at it, it's like Cincinnati's going through all the same stuff. They're not winning games either. They're not playing their best right now. K-State at home. I have a tough time thinking that K-State can lose three in a row like this. There are a lot of things to say that K-State shouldn't get this done, but there would also be a lot on the Cincinnati side to not like. So I don't love where I'm going with this. The one thing that I'm confident in is I don't think K-State kicks a field goal in this game. So I'm taking the Cats of K-State 28-24, but
that's another problem, right? What if you need to kick a field goal to win the game?
Hail Mary from the 30-yard line. You cannot trust the kicking situation right now, and it's not Chris Tennant's fault. So yeah, that'll be something to watch in the game on Saturday. But that's where we stand right now, and that'll do it for us here today. If you want more previewing K-State and Cincinnati, also getting ready for K-State and the Paradise Jam, where they're going to play three games over 4 days, go to On3, find kstateonline.com. If you're not signed up, become a member today and get full access to everything we have going on at KSO. And we'll have plenty more for you tomorrow over here on the KSO YouTube and podcast platforms after the Wildcats take on the Bearcats, 7 o'clock from Bill Snyder Family Stadium on Senior Day in Manhattan. So for Derek Young, I'm Mason Voth. Thanks for watching and listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.